The message tonight is a continuation of last week, so I tried to be smart with the hymn, but it didn't work as I thought it would. The homily is from Psalm 38, and our reading from Mark, and also the catechism recitation that we just had from the small catechism. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we mourn and lament without knowing what's wrong with us. So our lamentations end up like those who cry without hope. But how can we find happiness amidst grief, rejoice amidst pain, or manage a smile when our hearts are burdened with heavy sorrow? Maybe there is a way. There is a way because we have a Savior and help has come. So as we cry and lament, we say with David, make haste, O Lord. Make haste my help, O Lord, my salvation. So every Sunday, when we confess our sins, we do plead guilty of all sins, as we should. But on the one hand, it's impossible for us to think about the things we have done, enumerate all the things we have done wrong, or it's impossible for us to think about the things we have left undone and the things we haven't thought. It would take an eternity for us to number our sins. On the other hand, though, there is something powerful about saying out loud the sins that we have done, to confess the sins that we know and feel in our mind and in our heart. And there's something powerful about speaking them to God, or maybe if you need it, individual confession and absolution to the ears of the pastor. So then I think David is right when he names his sins in Psalm 38 and then closes with, make haste to help me, O Lord, my salvation. Last week, we heard about some of the harm to the soul who does not confess its sin. And this week, I want to continue that we have a flood of problems that weigh us down. One of them is no health to the body, overwhelmed by guilt, festering wounds, bowed down and searing pain, feeble, crushed, failing strength. The list go on, and you know what's wrong with you. That also presents this picture of a man today who is deeply wounded and crushed by his sinfulness. But David's problem and ours could get worse. His friends abandon him, and his enemies use David's weakness to try and destroy him. But isn't that just a picture of life under sin? Sometimes with sin, it sticks out like a festering sore that the entire world can see. The entire world can see it except yourself, because your pride and your ego won't let it see it, that it's sticking out of your eye. Peter could not see that pride that led him to denying Christ to the world. In the same way, you and I are all by nature spiritually blind and incapable of seeing our sin and what it truly is. God then has his way with us as he instructed us, or how he has put together his scripture that through law and gospel he gets to us, that David in our psalm has God's law heavy on him. The arrows of God's law have pierced him, pierced his heart. The law has awakened him in the knowledge of his sinfulness. And Paul would explain that. As Paul says, through the law comes knowledge of sin. So David finally sees his sin And the sin that destroyed his life, his health is gone, his friends abandoned him, and his enemies are at the gate. Yet at the bottom of all this, the reality of sin and forgiveness is upon us through the word. For it's been said about this psalm, "But happy is he who is wretched after this manner." That's a commentary on the words of Jesus on the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 4, verse 5. The Lord says, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." David mourns. David laments his sin. He recognizes the depth of his sinfulness and the harm that his sinful self and sinful nature does to him, not only in his body, but also in his soul. So the question tonight is this: do you see yourself in this psalm, Psalm 38? Has God's law had its way with your heart so that you mourn your sinfulness and fear God's just wrath? We often say that we live in a world where no one is no longer responsible for anything. It's always someone else's fault. But hasn't that been the way since the beginning of time, where Adam blames Eve and Eve blames the serpent, and down that rabbit hole, the blame is on God? God's law will not let you or let me pass on the blame. David in this psalm, he prays and confesses. He says, "I confess my iniquity, I am sorry for my sin." But confession is saying the same thing about yourself that God says about you. We are all sinners. You are sinners. I am a sinner. And notice in this psalm that David never tries to pass the blame. He takes it upon himself. These troubles of the body and spirit weighs upon him, and it is not because of someone else's. Or maybe you can think a little bit, maybe he could blame Adam too for starting it. But this is what the Catechism has in mind when we speak about the office of the keys, so we can hear it again. What do you believe according to these words? And then we answer, "I believe that when the called ministers of Christ deal with us by his divine command, in particular when they exclude openly unrepentant sinners from the Christian congregation and absolve those who repent of their sins and want to do better, this is just as valid and certain in heaven as if Christ, our dear Lord, dealt with us himself." In those words, we understand two things. We understand that God's word has two sides, law and gospel. Therefore, the called minister of Christ will deal with us, his flock, with law and gospel, that the law of God has to crush us, and then it has to build us anew again with the gospel. So through the lens of the law, we should see ourselves in this psalm. We are crushed, broken, alone, forsaken, apart from God. And we are only beggars who cry, "Make haste to help me, O Lord, my salvation." That's the law. But now we have to look at it with the gospels. We have to look at it through the eyes of Jesus. Look at it and remember the words of Isaiah when he said, what he said about the suffering servant, that the Lord was wounded for our transgression, he was crushed for our iniquities. And then we have to go to Paul again as he writes, "For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." What that means is Christ cried out on the cross, Psalm 22, verse 1, my God, why have you forsaken me?" For you. And this same Jesus shed tears tears of blood in the Garden of Gethsemane, and may praise probably Psalms 38 for you also. So he prays the psalm again, and you too should pray, as you need individual confession and absolution, and know that what sacrifice and what your Lord Jesus Christ gave up for you, that he took upon himself sin, he takes the blame, so he groans and he suffers and he bleeds and he has no health in his body. He is abandoned by his friends, betrayed by his disciples. He is handed over to his enemies, surrounded by them. And they strike his back, and his back is filled with searing pain. His strength fails him. And then the light left his eyes in death. The one who had no sin had to die for you. Not by lethal injection, not by electrocution, lethal gas, or hanging, but a capital punishment that is death on the cross, which fulfills all scripture, that forgiveness of sins is for all, and it is for you, as he wants it to be proclaimed on your ears, so that you may believe that you are free and released, that the holy absolution is a forgiveness. And when you come to before the pastor, you hear the words of Christ, that Christ comes before you. He brings the cross to bear for you your personal and individual weight of sin. So the word of absolution, when we hear it on Sunday, is the sweetest gospel. When pastor says, "In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen." But today, or tonight, you still suffer the consequences of sin. We all still hurt. But ultimately, as forgiven sinners, those sins cannot harm us, for we are in Christ, and his words of forgiveness give us the greatest reassurance that there is the resurrection of the body and life everlasting for each of us who hear these words. The words that was bought of a price, the price that is the son of the death of God's Son. So when God gives you this forgiveness freely, he gives it with joy. And before we receive it, as we hear again, "Make haste, O Lord, to help me, my salvation," we know that help is coming and help is there, so we repent with joy. Well, we can hear Peter deny the Lord 3 times, and he claims, "But the Lord your God claims you as his own every time, so you are never abandoned, you are his." So let us pray with David, with Jesus, and all with the host of all heaven, to make that help come, for he is our salvation. Your Christ is the crucified one who forgives sins, and it's all going to be fine. To Jesus alone be all the glory forever and ever.